This is Educated and Empowered. It looks like we have somebody else in the queue. Again, what we are talking about today is the holidays aren't happy for everyone. So we have a guest coming to join us. So let's see if she has a question or a comment. Hi, Lady Q. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
This I'm is doing an well.
Awesome topic. I love your bravery and your strength that you are sharing with us about your journey with grief. And I too lost my mom in 2002, January. Of 2002, and holiday. It took me a minute, and depending on where I'm at, you know, as I get older, different factors for me. Cause she died when she was 50, and at 47, because I have a muscle condition. We have a muscle condition, muscular dystrophy. She went untreated for 47 years, so my situation, like when I approached 47, I started getting fearful. Age 48, 49, and then 50 hit. I'm 51, almost 52. And I said, you know, the holidays, Mother's Day, you know, you go to church and you hear people, you know, singing the Faded Rose song every year. Every year. So, and they lighten the candle and they like, hey, you know, and, I had to help coordinate those things. So one particular year, I remember made a decision that on Mother's Day, I was not going to light a candle and listen to the Faded Rose song. It was 7 years in a row, 7 years in a row that I had, and it every year. And I had to make a decision, like yourself, you made the decision to celebrate her instead of, you know, because I felt the same way, instead of, you know, feeling like, you know, you were not doing what you felt like you needed to do for your children. And it just resonated with me, because the particular year that I made the decision, it was year number 7. And I went on the Spirit of Baltimore with my two girls and for lunch. My sister and I treated my sister and I, and we went. And everybody was like, you know, you're going to leave church to, you know, yes, I'm a mother. I remembered at that moment, every year my kids see me cry on Mother's Day. And I made the decision to say, you know what? I don't want them to grow up not wanting to be a mom or not appreciating Mother's Day or whatever, however they're going to see it at that time when they get grown or whatever. I didn't want them to see it as something sad and not want to celebrate. Or not want to be celebrated if they are moms.
Yep.
I said I had to do something different. So I made a decision at that point to help myself, because I was around people that were doing the same thing. And it was just so sad. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm tired. Not that I felt wrong for a split second, because I was around people that were, I'm not going to say encouraging the behavior, but that's the only thing I can think of at the time. But they were promoting and encouraging the sadness. So I got tired. I said, wait a minute, wait a minute. So instead, you know, because what I was doing, I was not celebrating myself as being a good mom. I was not celebrating the accomplishments that I had come through or had done during that time, because I was too focused on being sad. And not intentionally, because I didn't know that that's what I was doing until I had an aha moment, and that was year number 7.
Absolutely.
Year number 7. And so I appreciate you sharing your story, because it really, a lot of people don't like talking about their feelings just because they're not in a place, they're not ready to let go of whatever. But I do. My youngest daughter, born in January, my mother's birthday, January 15th, and she was in the hospital on her birthday that year. And she died 6 days after her birthday.
Wow.
And on the date that she passed, her best friend's birthday is that day.
Yeah.
So So it January is a really, it's not as hard now because my youngest daughter, her birthday is January the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I celebrate. Everything that I do during the course of the year, I've grown to the point where everything that I do, and I know that her spirit is with me. Number one, I still look like she used to look, you know, so I can celebrate her while looking at myself, yeah. You know, and things that I do with family, because she was a family-oriented person with what she had to work with at the time. She was a teenage mother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I talk to her in my dream because that's how God deals with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, I know that she's happy. And there are certain times where she still shows up in my dreams. And it'll be 21 years in January. Mm-hmm. January the 21st, it'll be 21 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know at those moments that she shows up, I need that. Now, I have a beautiful godmother who helped raise me, and I call her mom. But my biological mother, who moved on to heaven, that's her new address. God gave me creative ways to deal with her not being here.
Yep.
So that's what I do. He gave me creative ways. So I tell everybody, so how, you know, if somebody asked me, how long was my mom been gone? I said, oh, she ain't gone. She just moved
She's
up
just
to
not
heaven.
Here.
You know,
that's
her new
right.
Address. You want to see her address card? Mm-hmm. And it's her tombstone. It's her address card. That's where she at. Mm-hmm. She, you know, so they're looking at me like, but that's what I do for me. Because I know that she did the best that she could with what she had. And she could have given me up. She could have aborted me. She was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And me and my sister. But I celebrate her. I choose to
Absolutely.
Celebrate her.
And Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. So I commend you. I thank you. I already started following you. So.
Well, thank you so much, ma'am. Thank
and
you
I'm
so much.
And I'm new to the platform, but yeah.
Well, I tell you what. If you guys are not already doing so, if you see Lady Q, then feel free to go and follow her. And just whenever she does any podcast, then you guys can be notified. But thank you so much for coming
yes,
in
ma'am.
And sharing
That's
your
right.
story as well, Lady Q. You have
yes,
a blessed day. And I hope you will stay on and listen to the remainder
sure
of the podcast. Thank
I
you. Thank you. So thank you so much, Lady Q. For those of you who are just now tuning in, you guys, if you are not already following me, you can do so across social media. I can be found on Wisdom, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Clubhouse, and YouTube, all at My Name is Tenille. So if you're not already following me, feel free to just put that in. My name is Tenille. If you're on Wisdom, you can always feel free to ask me a question, and I will answer that for you at my earliest convenience. And if you follow me or friend me on other platforms, then shoot me a DM. If you need something that's going to be a little bit more formal, you're looking for a consultation, want some extended advice, or you may even want your own personal program, then I encourage you guys to go to my website, which is mynameistenille.com. That's my name is TONEAL.com. And finally, if you are not already subscribed to my Educated and Empowered podcast, then I encourage you to go to anchor.fm and do so today. And so if you are just now tuning in, today's topic is the holidays aren't happy for everyone. And so in true Tenille fashion, if you know me for half a second, what you will realize is I am not a person that solely focuses on problems, even though I know that the topic sounds like that this is going to be a little bit problematic. But being not just an empowerment specialist, I'm a life coach, I'm a lit coach. So there always has to be a lesson that you learn from whatever your experience is, right? I'm one who always says that life teaches you two things. It teaches you either what to do or what not to do. And it is your job to learn which is which. And so when we started the show, I had a guest, David Evans, who came on, and he really wanted to be a blessing to those who are listening. And so as you all are coming on, if you know someone And this is in real time, guys. So a lot of times when I do my podcast, I don't always like to date it. So that way you don't know what the date is when you listen to it. I like them to be timeless shows. However, because of what his gifting is, this is real time. This is Monday, December 12th. We are about 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks from the holidays. And if you know someone who is struggling, who needs some type of gifting, maybe for their children, he is giving away toys. He also has a gift card. He also is going to bless someone via Cash App. All you have to do is go to his website, which is watchpictv.com. That is WATCHPICTV.com, and hit him up, connect with him there. And then for others of you who may be mourning, one of the things that I did through in the show earlier, I played my song that I released on August 18th this year. That was my way of helping to cope with the 20th year death anniversary of my mom's passing. And if you like that song, for those of you who are listening, I played that live on the podcast. If you want to hear it at your leisure, then feel free to go to iTunes or Spotify, iHeart, or any of the other major streaming platforms and download the song Remembering by me, Tennille M. Jackson. And so there are going to be another couple things that I'm going to do to, again, we want to help coach you through. Mainly what I'm doing is I'm opening the floor every, you know, so often I'm going to allow a guest to come in queue, because one of the things that we have to realize is that it is okay to talk about what it is that's bothering you, right? So like a lot of times as a coach, one of the main things we do is we provide an ear and a shoulder. It's so many people who don't have just a quote unquote basic support system. So many people, I believe it was Mr. Two Extra who earlier on talked about how once his father passed away, he had to resume the responsibility of carrying that weight. And I know the same thing happened to me when my mother passed away August 18, 2002. My grandmother died November 2003. Again, I told you guys, is the day before Thanksgiving. And I'll never forget it, because my aunt, the one that I told you passed away on December 6th, the following year, 2004, at my grandmother's funeral, that aunt had come to me and she said to me, she's like, Tennille, you know, you have to be our mama and Judy now, right? Now, understand, my mother was only 45 when she died. My grandmother was 63 when she died. So I'm 23 years old at the time that I'm being told that I have to be the family's go-to. And for all intents and purposes, I'm really kind of the young, if not the youngest, definitely the younger. I'm right before, like, I'm not that old at this point. And I have aunts and uncles that's older. My sister is older, but yet and still, that honestly ended up proving to be exactly what happened. There were many people in the family and beyond who came to me. And that's difficult, because that's a lot of weight and you don't always know how to carry it. And when you don't know how to properly grieve yourself, then that's added burden and pressure to you. And so, you know, again, like I told you guys, I struggled with depression for many years. I went through depression. I was clinically depressed. So, and when I say depressed, I don't just mean saying you wake up and you sad. There's a difference between being sad and being depressed. And my hope and prayer for everyone, I don't want for either for you to experience either, but do understand what feelings are quote unquote normal and what feelings are not normal, right? So if you lose someone that's close to you, then being sad is normal. That's expected. You lose a sibling, you lose a parent, you lose a child, it's expected to be sad. It's expected to grieve, right? That's normal. But you have to be very careful, especially depending on the type of personality that you have. If you've ever suffered with depression before, then understand you are more susceptible and more easily susceptible to being depressed as opposed to someone who has never suffered with depression, right? So you have to know the things that are triggers for you. And I believe one of the guests talked about triggers as well. You have to know what are triggers for you, and you have to be mindful to not position yourself in that situation to be triggered, right? So again, you remember I told you early on, there are going to be some things that you just cannot help, because life just lifes all the time. Life is constantly lifing, right? Like, you just live, and life is going to do what life does. You don't have to help it. You don't have to give it an extra hand. Life is going to life all by itself. So the best thing you can do is to try to equip yourself so that you can survive all the blows, the curveballs, the obstacles, all of those things that life is going to throw at you. The best thing that you can do is to equip yourself to survive that, right? And so again, understand who you are, understand your personality type. And so when you do that, that's going to help you to know, like, there are some people, and this isn't a judgmental thing. This is the Bible says, let a man examine himself. And so I'm a huge believer in knowing you for you, not so that you can compare yourself against somebody else, be better than somebody else, but you need to know who you are so you can deal with yourself accordingly. If you know that there are certain things that you can't handle, the things you can't handle doesn't make you weak. Being able to know those things that you can't handle makes you strong, because now you're like, hey, I'm going to take control of this situation. If I know being exposed to this, this, and this is going to bring out the worst out of me, whether the worst side of me means I get loud and ignorant, whether the worst side of me means I'm finna go get sloppy drunk, whether the worst side of me means I'm finna go and start getting high, doing drugs, whether the worst side of me means I got to slip and dip and start being in everybody else's bedroom, the people that don't belong to me, like, whatever your vice is, you need to know you. And for some people, it's not an external vice. For some people, it's totally internal, meaning we are our own worst enemies. And if you are that person where when things go wrong, somehow you find a way to blame yourself, then you definitively have to be very careful when things happen. Because for me, understand that I, for a long time, was a perfectionist, okay? So everything, I was a perfectionist. I was very meticulous. Everything had to be a certain way. And, you know, I got ridiculous levels of excellence, like a standard of excellence, just a ridiculous level. Don't even make sense. And this, I don't believe, was necessarily my fault, because this was what was instilled in me as a child. But it's still the level of excellence that I maintained for myself. And so, therefore, it was very difficult to keep on going through it and being able to hold up that standard. And so what happened with my mom, because again, she was 45, she had cancer, and when she passed away, it was just really hard for me because I was her caregiver, and she had moved in with me the last, you know, few weeks or whatever of her life. She had moved in with me, and that was just really, it was my pleasure, obviously, and I would do it 15 times over. But what to be the one to find her, that was hard, because for years I blamed myself. For years, I replayed that situation. You know, what if I wouldn't have panicked? What if I would have did this? Or what if I wouldn't have done that? For years, I did that. And, you know, despite the doctors telling me about what it is that is going on and that it was going to happen no matter what, for me, I just was not able to accept that. And, you know, because of how I was, it was so easy to just blame myself. It was so easy to just make it be that had I done something different, when the fact of the matter is that it had absolutely nothing to do with me. My mother had been diagnosed with cancer. It was already stated, you know, that she lived longer than they anticipated her to live. Yet and still, there's parts of us that never wants to let our loved ones go. We want to believe that if we did this, that, or third. And so it was almost, I don't know the proper term for it, but I'm going to say it's almost like a Jesus complex, believing that I should have been able to save her. And that's not just, that's not the truth. And so a lot of times we have to learn how to be able to accept things, even the hard things. We have to learn that everything is not going to work the way that we feel, we think, or we want. But even in that, it doesn't mean that it's not working for our good, right? It doesn't mean that, because there are a lot of times, think about it. Some of the things that taught you the most valuable lessons, some of the things that you would attribute to being the person you are today, are the lessons that you learn from things that you would never want to go through. Those who have lost loved ones, think about the lessons that you learned. Now, what if I told you that the only way that you could learn that lesson would be by losing someone? Because there are certain lessons that only loss can teach you. And I mean severe loss. So whether you're talking about death, whether you're talking about divorce, whether you're talking about eviction, whether you're talking about unemployment, like it's certain lessons, like lessons of resiliency. You can't learn that when you got everything. You can't learn that when you haven't suffered through anything. And the fact of the matter is that as people, we don't want to suffer. Nobody would ever choose to suffer. Why? Because who want to suffer? Who want to go through aches and pains and tears? Who want to go through falling down and all of the turmoil with figuring out how to get back up? Nobody would choose that naturally. However, most people, those lessons are the lessons that help to shape your character. Those lessons are the reasons why you are as resilient as you are today. The reason why you're as dependable as you are today. Because if you think about it, on your own and of your own, many of you who end up having to step up in whatever capacity after you lost somebody, if that person was still here, you wouldn't be doing probably half of the stuff that you're doing today. One thing led to another thing that led to another thing that led to another thing. And now you look up however much time later, and now you're the person who you are today. But the fact of the matter, what we would never want to say is that if that loved one was still here, if that drastic loss would have never happened, we would have never done something different because we were comfortable. And a lot of times growth, and especially necessary growth, takes being uncomfortable. And who would ever make themselves uncomfortable? Most of us don't volunteer to be stretched because it hurt. And the fact, though, is that that's what it takes in many cases. And so for those of you who are believers, that's the reason why you have to, when we talk about having faith in God, it has to be unconditional. It has to be beyond your circumstance. You have to be able to just trust, know, and believe what Jeremiah 29:11 says, that he knows the plans that he has for us. And he may not go through everything detail by detail, but he knows the end result, right? And the reason why he doesn't tell us step by step is because he understands there might be some steps along the way that we don't like. And once we get access to it, once we understand, we done got ear to it or whatever, we know, wait a minute, What's on page two? Oh no, never mind. I ain't finna read because I don't even like what's on page two. So if I don't like page two, I'm not finna read a 100-page book. You know that that's how we are. And God knows that that's how we are. So that's the reason why in many cases, he can't give us a play-by-play of how to get from beginning to end. Because he knows that many of us would stop Once we hit, not even halfway, once we get out the parking lot, many of us, if we knew that it was going to be a traffic jam before you, if I knew before I left the house that it was going to be a traffic jam, many of us would just end up calling off work that day, not realizing that, you know what, because once you get to work, it's actually going to be somebody there that you're going to be able to bless. We would miss that opportunity to be a blessing and turn around probably getting blessed, all because we don't want to be inconvenienced with a traffic jam. That's typically how it works. And I'm making it more light and saying it that way. But what I'm just trying to get you all to understand is that although we don't like the inconvenience, we don't like the hard part, we don't like the shedding of tears, we don't like those things, just because we don't like them, don't make them less necessary to the journey. Don't make them less necessary for what it is that we are charged to do, what we are purposed to do, and what we need in order to grow.